Okay.
Culture real, y'all. Oh, yeah. How can you not move with the Gap Band? That's a jam. I don't care what anybody says. All right, welcome to episode 169 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, the only pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. So glad to be with you this evening. Homestead Honey's not going to make it because she is up to her eyeballs in just about everything right now. And she's been a little bit under the weather the last couple of days. I had a bout, I think, of the sweet and sour sniffles. You know how it goes. Anyway, this episode is always brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com. Turn that simp into a pimp. Bam! Heaven's Harvest, 10% off with promo code PERMA. PERMA, remember, handle all your preparedness needs as best you can in the local places that you can. But everything you can't source, go check out Heaven's Harvest and get that 10% off. All right. And if you'd like to tip a pimp, go check us out in the Fountain app. Listen to all your podcasts over there. You can triple up the speed if you'd like. But first and foremost, make sure you check out the Pimpcast. And if you want to drop some SATs on some PIMPs, you know exactly where to do it on the Fountain app. All right, ain't going to play around. Going to jump right into it. We're going to have a little bit of a programming difference, and I'll get into that later because I think it makes a whole lot of sense. All right, so farm news, I'll jump right into it. Man, it was a really, really awesome time. We went over to Tim and Sophie's. They have a podcast called Call to Farms. And over there, got to meet somebody. I mean, if it was just to go over there and meet Tim and Sophie, that would be great because they are wicked smart, both of them. And it's just a joy to be around them. But also got to meet somebody I've been wanting to meet for a long time. That's Mike Dixon and his wife, Lacey, and all their kids. And just a beautiful family, man. I mean, you know how you have certain opinions about a person or what you might think about that person? I always heard he was cool. And when I met this dude, gave him a hug, man, he really is a fit farmer. I mean, it was like I thought I was touching Superman. I ain't kidding you. That guy is hard as 3x9. You hug him and I'm like, dude, this dude is solid. And, man, so he really is, I mean, what he says he is. And I'll be honest with you, man, the dude is wicked smart. It was funny because it's when I go into a room and I feel like I'm the dumbest one in there, that is always a good day. And I kind of was. Tim and Sophie are wicked smart. Mike and Lacey are very intelligent. And we had some conversations that, frankly, I just can't have every day. So it was a joy to be able to do that and kind of see how other folks do other things. Now, we were at Tim and Sophie's house. If we ever get together, maybe, you know, everybody can stop by the Jungle Palace. But it was really, really cool to see how other folks do their things. And, man, they got this, man, I've never seen anything like this particular contraption. As far as a mobile butchery unit, you hook it up to a trailer. Now, a lot of people have seen the one that Jason has from Sow the Land, and it's great. The only downside is you can't really hang anything up. So when you lay pigs down, the only downside is that their spine tends to contort with wherever it is. So let's say you put it in there warm, it cools up, and then what you find out later on is when you go to do your pork chops, it's just a little more difficult. But this one here was a mobile section that, I mean, you could probably hang 5 pigs on a gambrel, maybe 2 sides of beef, maybe more. But it was a really, really, really awesome setup. And to see how that thing was set up was, man, it just gave me some really great ideas. But as far as processing, had a cool bot. I mean, the whole 9 yards. I mean, there were some design features that you might want to change, you know, like, you know, it's a little bit blunt in the front. So if you're going down the interstate, that might be an issue. But
man, I got to say, it's always awesome to go to another place and see how folks do things. And then folks always, you know, no matter who you are, man, I'll just say this, you know, everybody's always a little bit, and me, us included, you know, I usually tell people when they come over, hey, you know, it's usually junkier than this, but I knew you were coming, so I cleaned up a little bit. All of us are a little bit self-conscious about our places. I know I am, and I have been. And then after having, you know, years of doing this, look, let me just tell everybody that's getting into this and you're thinking whether or not you want to have somebody over. Look, everybody's going to have junk piles. You have to. That is the nature of farming. You are always going to have that. It may be bigger. It may be smaller. But it's always a sign that people are doing things. When I see an antiseptic farm, I can guarantee this just about every single time. If I see, and I'm talking, go to places like Polyface, go to Greg Judy's. There's always going to be things that seem out of place to a city slicker. And that's normal for a farm. I mean, we have things, they're it's going to look misaligned to the powers that shouldn't be out there, obviously. I'm talking like an HOA or something like that. But it also may be to your city slicker friends or people in a high rise. You're just not used to seeing those things, but that's just the nature of what it is. So folks, don't be self-conscious about how it is you do things, because we all have those spots. Now, in fairness, I don't really, you know, maybe I will do that. I think I did it once in a YouTube video. In fairness, I'm going to start doing that in the future. And, you know, I've done it before, you know, places where I messed up, things I could have done better, but I never really show those sides of the property that really are just junk piles. And that's what everybody else thinks they are, but that's exactly what I mean, they're useful to me, but hey, it is what it is. Or as a ghetto philosopher once said, it do what it do. Yeah, I guess I had to throw that in there. We did have the Gap Band after all. So bringing that back, unless I'm going to be live, and of course I can't do that. So we had something of a phenomenon. I asked people to reach out to me, and there was a number that have and said, you've been kind of in weird straits as well when it comes to, you know, anxiety and some of the other things going on. And some people have attributed some of it, I think, to what's falling out of the sky. And it could be these, you know, these electronic things that we have around. Believe it or not, y'all, those things put off some stuff. I got the RF meter to prove it. Believe you me. So a lot of people hit me up. Well, not a lot, but some hit me up about that. And it hit me again, and I'm like, okay, man, what is going on here? I don't understand. I'm talking like anxiety almost to the point of being debilitating, which should not. My diet's on point. Everything's on point. And I think I might have come across what might have been the culprit. I mean, you never really know for sure, but I'm going to work on that a little bit more. If I know anything for sure, I'll definitely let you know. But yeah, so at the same time with the anxiety, Michelle was also dealing with whatever was going on with her. So she was, I mean, boy, you talk about heart is 3x9, man. That woman's still out there. I mean, it's all you can do to keep her still. She's that tough. And I know a lot of moms out there generally are pretty doggone tough. In many ways, probably more tough than the guys. But no matter what, man, she's out there. The only thing I could let her let me do is actually go down in the evening and, you know, get the animals squared away. And believe me, if she ever lets me do that all by myself without her being there, trust me, she ain't doing good. Like I said, that woman is hard, is 3x9, let me tell you. So what else do we do here? Today was interesting because we're working in this silva pasture area. It is totally messed up. Now, folks, I've talked about it before that if you just go ahead and do nothing more than just rotationally graze, well, I hate to say, you know, some people call rotational grazing moving them every 3 months. So I really don't like that. I think the word's been hijacked. I'll say, you know, responsibly graze. I'll put it that way. It'll come back all on its own just by doing that. But I'm speeding things up by seeding afterwards. Now, I got a bunch of seeds in there, you name it. We're big, big fans of that place out in California. Can't think of the name. Peaceful Valley Farm Supply. Good night, man. Their stuff is so off the hook when it comes to, I mean, just about everything. Their seeds are really, really good. So I kind of take some of our local seeds. I mean, there might have been some Kentucky 31 in there and a few other things. And then I'm going through. Now, I'm going to tell you the best way I found to go about doing this. If you're dealing with bare ground, which is pretty much where these guys are right now, a little bit of silvergrass tried to pop up before. Let me tell you what I do. The day before, I'm going to move them to the new paddock. It doesn't always work out this way. You don't want to do it afterwards if you can help it. And I'll tell you why here in a second. So if you're going to seed, try to do it maybe the night before or right before you're about to reset your fence and put them in that area. Reason why, especially when you deal with any kind of ruminants, of course, their hoof pressure is going to embed a lot of those things. It's going to embed all those seeds. And then when you come in there and let's say you're throwing hay to them like I am, well, the seeds are bedded. And of course, now they got a mulch ring on it when the sheep get out of there. Sometimes, like today, I actually had to go back because we've been so doggone busy that I had to go back and hit areas. It'll still work that way. But if you do it that way, it's always best to do it right before rain. And let me tell you the reason why. You put your seed out there and the sun comes out the next day, it's going to bake those seeds. So you're probably going to lose a fair piece of them. Even small seeds like grass seeds or anything like that, you're still going to have some that kind of sit on top. They're going to get that sunlight. They're not going to get the shovel. But if you know you're going to get some rain, that's a good time too. So that's what I elected to do this time. And from here on out, yeah, we're going to go ahead and, from here on out, I'm going to try to make sure I remember to get it beforehand because it just makes life so much better. And you'll see the results a little bit better, at least from my experience. Now, in addition to all that, like I said, we're speeding things up. So that's where the sprinkler comes in. I'll just kind of give you the cliff notes here. I showed it before. I think it might've been on YouTube, but I'm pretty sure I did it on, maybe I did it on Patreon. I can't remember which. So if I want to, okay, like I said, if you're just going to responsibly graze, you're going to see improvement. You're going to speed it up even more if you're able to seed and responsibly graze. You can kick it up even more if you throw down compost extract. I'm sorry, extract on top of it. So you're hitting it with a trifecta that is going to produce, and that's provided you're using really good compost. You want to make sure you have really, 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 really good compost. If you can make extract out of that, and what I did is put it in a 100-gallon tub and put a DC, well, it could be a DC pump. Anyway, put a pump on it, and then downstream from there, put your sprinkler on it. And then you're kicking it up. Now, is that a lot of work? No, for me it ain't, but for a lot of other people it might be. All I know is that the faster I can get this stuff into production, the less I'm having to pay. I'm not going to have to buy hay next time. I can stockpile. This is part of the hay I could have been stockpiling for a while now. And so I didn't have enough stockpile to get me through, but also I'm reclaiming area that we never even grazed. And we're talking about stuff that had like thorns, thistles. Remember, you got thorns and thistles out there. Your soil is jacked up. Easiest way to go about it. I mean, I could give you individual examples as to how, but everybody's got different circumstances. If you just go out there and go Greg Judy 101, you will be astonished at the improvement you can make. Even if you were to go through and let's say it's pretty bad. Let's say you were to go through. Now, where I live, you ain't getting no tractors up these mountains. I guarantee it. You could do it in the bottom land we have, but in the high sides, nah, ain't going to happen. So you could go out there with a brush hog, lay it all down. That's a carbon layer. And then you could run your animals afterwards and then put your hay out. Look, y'all, Greg's books are really easy reads and it will make all the difference in the world. But check it out. He's got a YouTube channel too. So you can hit this stuff. Look, there's no, like Joel Salatin always says, you can't Google experience. But you can definitely speed it up by looking into some of these geniuses out there like himself, Greg Judy, Jim Garrish, Jeff Lawton, Bill Mollison. I mean, Elaine Ingham, they're all out there, y'all. And the information isn't that hard to find. So do the best you can to try to find those awesome people and places. And we're doing something, I guess you could almost call it a pimp method, because like in our orchards, there's 10 different people that I can cite. Stefan Subkowiak, I mean, Jeff Lawton, Bill Mollison, Mark Shepard, you name it, there is a piece of everybody I just mentioned out in those things. But I will advise you, I mean, when we're showing you a lot of this stuff, it's a, I guess you could say it's an amalgamation of all those people. But if you're going to use our methods, you know, just kind of know that. But otherwise, I highly suggest finding one teacher, finding what works. And then once you feel, you know, you got your sea legs on it, then move on. So other things we did out there today, I talked about that. The sheep are in the Silva pasture right now. So we got this ram out there. He's a little bit of a problem child, and he's having some hoof problems. Went out there, put a little bit of copper sulfate on it. We'll see if that happens. I'm putting his butt in the freezer anyway because he's a little bit – I wish I didn't breed him. I just bred him for other reasons. But, you know, that's the good thing about doing this work, man. You always got meat. So doing the other workout, carrying hay back up this mountain, boy, that will wear you out, carrying 40 pounds of hay up and doing it twice in the morning, twice at night. So it'll wear you out. But, hey, it's getting better, better, better. All right, so today is Monday. Yesterday, they apparently played some Super Bowl. I only know the Chiefs. I don't even know who the Chiefs were playing. And the only reason I know who won is because Ben from Renewed Homestead told me. Outside of that, y'all, I don't know anything about what's going on in this world, at least not in that realm. It's just not my cup of tea. I guess I said that to say this. The amount of money and time and effort. Look how long that Super Bowl, I was just looking at the accounting of time. You got the pregame show, you got all this other stuff. And honestly, if you want to chill and watch a Super Bowl, nothing wrong with that. But how many days a week do guys watch TV? And I mean like football. It's on Monday. I mean, I don't watch football, but I remember it was Monday Night Football on Sunday. Then Friday you had high school, Saturday you had college, Sunday, you know, I think it's going 7 days a week now. Look at the investment of time that takes. 3 hours a game, I guess. I mean, that's what it used to be back in the day. Maybe it's longer now. Think about how much time is spent. Maybe it ain't football. Maybe your thing is watching, you know, some TV show every single night. Maybe. Because I hear this all the time from people saying, well, I just don't have time. But you're watching your shows every night. But, you know, if you were to, let's say you got a Tuesday night, let's say you watch TV on Tuesday. What if you were to take just 1 hour and read? Yeah, I mean that. What if you were to take 1 hour and study? And it doesn't even have to be that way. I mean, you can break this, let's say it's, cut into your TV time. Maybe you take 20 minutes a day. Maybe you could do like, there's so many self-help gurus out there that say read 10 pages a day. Is it really that difficult? I mean, you'd be shocked at how much you learn just by taking that little bit of an investment. Maybe instead of watching cat videos on YouTube, maybe you want to watch what you know somebody's doing out there that you might want to replicate. I know a lot of people do that. I know I'm usually speaking to the choir here, but I'm just saying, for all you folks that are saying, I don't have time to do this, look, have you ever had a reason why you didn't brush your teeth? Yeah, me neither. So maybe we don't provide excuses to why we didn't maybe go for that walk after dinner, or maybe that reason why we didn't go ahead and read that 10 pages, or maybe why, you know, we were up playing on our phone instead of going to bed. I'm guilty as charged on some of that. Not playing necessarily. I'm studying, but I'm still cutting into my sleep. So that's, I'm talking to me in a lot of this stuff. So I'm thinking of all these different, you know, folks sometimes think, oh, you don't have any fun. Well, I enjoy learning. I mean, that's what people say, what do you do for fun? Well, I learn. I mean, that's what I do. That's what I love to do. I love learning for the sake of learning. And so for everybody else, it may be different, but if you're wanting to get out of the rat race you're in, folks, these are some of the steps I had to take. And even when I was on the road, man, every single chance I got, I remember being in Kentucky at the Corvette plant. Every single chance I got, I had all three volumes. I mean, I packed up and I hit the road. I had a bunch of books with me. I remember I had all three volumes of the Earthship, written by Michael Reynolds. And I was like, okay, I don't have a whole lot of time. I'm working night shift, literally from 7 at night till 7 in the morning. Every chance I could, I was cracking that book, learning just a little bit here, just a little bit there, hoping and praying someday I could actually put my hands on this job. but every dream must be implemented with deeds. Guy with a whole lot of sense once wrote that. All right, so let's get into the good news. But before we do that, I want to remind you, and we're going to have her on Thursday, the lady from Redemption Shield, y'all. I'm so excited to get her on, Gina. Man, she's so wicked smart. And of everybody out there that hit me up about, you know, you get hit up all the time about trying products and this and that. A lot of times we turn them down, unless it's something that really, I mean, something, a lot of times it's products and ain't got nothing to do with what we're doing. And a lot of times I'll tell them, hey, yeah, I'll try your product out, but man, if it don't work out, yeah, I'll do your video, but if it don't work out, I'm gonna tell everybody it don't work. And so a lot of them are like, we'll go to the next guy. Well, it wasn't that way with Redemption Shield. I was impressed because they were the only ones that were completely okay with me testing the product. And I was like, okay, you feel that strongly about it, let me test it. When everything came through, y'all, I got my feet right now on one of these mats. Got them all over the house. We've given them away as gifts. I mean, I buy this product because I really believe in it, and it works. I've tested it. I'm a journeyman electrician with 25 years experience. Believe me, I know what I'm doing, and this stuff works. So I'll stand behind them any day. And like I said, this Thursday, we'll have her on. This Wednesday, I'm going to have on my first international, actually, no, my second international guest. First one was up in Canada. That was a while back. That was when I was talking to the boys from Firmamental. Anyway, hopefully be talking to those guys here before too long. Going to be talking on Wednesday with Cormac from Ireland, and that ought to be good. So he's got a lot of good things over there. I was just interviewed on his podcast, and I was like, man, it'd really be cool to get a feel for the bottom over here instead of going through some idiot politician or some, you know, some pathological lying prostitute media whore. Instead of going through them, man, let me just get these guys on here from where they're from, and we'll find out straight from the horse's mouth. But anyway, if you want 10% off of Redemption Shield, remember promo code PERMA. So P-E-R-M-A. I can't believe I got to spell that out. And I don't know why I do, because everybody knows it's P-E-R-M-A. Anyway, just an old radio habit. All right, so good news. Right off the bat, y'all, this one I definitely had to get out there because I take it every single day. In fact, I make 00 capsules out of it, and I take, well, there was a time I was taking 12 a day of those 00 capsules. Now I'm taking about 6, so I kind of eased off of it. Anyway, that magic is, now I don't know how anybody really pronounces it, but I've heard it pronounced turmeric or turmeric. Either way. 6 medicinal benefits for home remedies. Folks, I'm bringing this up because this is one of those things. I would say put it in your medicine cabinet. Obviously, it ought to be in your spice cabinet. But I literally buy the best I can buy. And the best stuff I know to get is from Mike Adams. And the reason why is because there's a lot of that stuff off the shelf that has all kinds of weird impurities in it. Say what you want about Mike Adams, but I know his stuff is on point. No toxins, no nothing. Anyway, I get that stuff and I make these capsules out of it, and it's off the hook. And here's some of what it does. I mean, we're just now, for the last decade, I'd say, just finding out the beauty of this thing, just like so many other things. You know, we're just finding out the sunlight's good for us. Eggs are good for us. Remember when they said those were bad? Putting your feet on bare soil. You know, they were scaring us when I was a kid, telling us you're going to get hookworms. Wow. And I think my mom still believes that. But yeah, all these great, wonderful things that they told you were, nah, okay, are now wonderful. Well, anyway, enhances immunity, improves brain functions, supports cardiovascular health. How about that one? And, you know, for a lot of people that might have been victims of some of the latest pestilence out there, it might be something you might want to consider. Like I said, I don't particularly love the taste of turmeric. I know a lot of people make, there was a lady once that made like a tea out of it. I wasn't feeling it, but you know, I guess you could do it that way. But anyway, I take the capsules. I just make the capsules and take them. You can go out there and spend a lot of money for the curcumin, but I just make my own capsules and it's way cheaper that way. Lowers the risk of cancer, relieves arthritis. Now, folks, Michelle has a lot of back issues ever since the Army. And I'm telling you, one of her go-tos big time. Well, besides taking these mats from Redemption Shield, I'm not trying to get a gratuitous plug out there. I'm just saying that's what she does now. She, whenever her back's bothering her, she takes that mat from Redemption Shield puts it on there. But also one of the things she does, or when she would have female problems, she would take some of that also for that. It's not in here, but that's one of the things they do. Also improves longevity. I mean, there's a whole lot of wonderful things with turmeric. And like I said, there's a reason I take it every day. So that's one of the things. Remember, we're always going to have one. Well, I think permaculture in itself is preparedness, but I'm always going to try to put some preparedness slant every foot, every chance I can in every podcast I can. So this one here, I wasn't shocked by because I was aware of some of the research, but I think it's fantastic. Mushrooms can help clean up the dioxin-tainted East Palestine, Ohio. Remember that one? You know, nobody probably does because it's not, you know, nobody's talking about it anymore. Certainly not the prostitutes. When's the last time you heard them say anything about Fukushima? Oh, forgot about that one too? Yeah, it's still giving the gift that keeps on giving right out there to the Pacific, and nobody seems to care. Well, and you know what? I think one of the things I'm going to buy next is probably a Geiger counter. I'm going to go through a grocery store and see just how much of this fish just starts popping. You know, some of that ocean-caught fish, man, probably freak them out. Wouldn't be the first time I've been thrown out. Anyway, Paul Stamets, whenever you hear him involved, you know it's going to get real. Well, check this out. Years ago, I'd heard this other story. Before I get into this, I heard of this story of these mycologists that were over in Chernobyl that were growing all of these mushrooms, and they were astonished. Just like a compost pile doesn't necessarily rid you of the toxins, it ties them up in medium and long chain carbonic acids. Well, that's what they found out in Chernobyl, that these mushrooms over there, of course, the whole world didn't know about it. Nobody was talking about it, but I was aware of that research a while ago. Well, Paul Stamets suggested that, and apparently it's already been done. Everybody says there's nothing we can do about dioxins, but we're finding out that there is a cure. Man, and Dr. Elaine Ingham talks about this a lot, that you name it, there hasn't really been a case where we didn't have some kind of solution for any kind of pesticide or anything. There was always a natural solution for just about everything. And it was believed this stuff will just be around forever. Well, anyway, Paul Stamets suggests that turkey tail and oyster mushrooms will basically wipe this stuff right out. Now, it's particularly awesome because this morning when I was going out there seeding, like I was talking a moment ago, that's exactly what I noticed. There was a bunch of, we got turkey tails coming all over the place around here, and they're really neat. It looks like they're growing half into a log, and you see them all around, but believe me, those things are big time medicinal. I take turkey tail mushroom capsules every single day. I make those as well. And I got a list of a bunch of different mushrooms I got in there. Some of that inspired from my man, James, over at Strand Farm. So taking some of that every single day. But anyway, turkey tail and oyster mushrooms, he believes, and if Paul Stamets is saying this, I got to believe that there's got to be some hope to this because everybody's saying that there's no cleanup solutions for a dioxin spill. Well, while we're at it, why don't we, I don't know how well they'll grow in Vietnam, but you think all that Agent Orange we put over there, you think maybe we might want to start, instead of dropping Agent Orange from the sky, maybe we ought to drop mushroom spore. Help these folks out over there. Anyway, let's go on to the next one. So, employers that mandated COVID-19 injections for workers can be held liable for vaccine injuries, and that's in Australian courts, which is really awesome because that was, I mean, you got some people that had to absolutely flee from there. I think Seth Holhouse, I think his wife, I know she's from there. Whether or not she had to flee, I don't know. I know Max Egan. If you don't know who Max Egan is, folks, you want to check him out. The guy is a flipping genius. He's Australian and can't go back. In fact, the day he left, they were going to kick in his door simply because he refused to comply. My body, my choice, huh? Well, apparently not for everybody out there. But, folks, I mean, this is good news. I mean, I'm not trying to dwell on this sort of thing, but I do. Everybody's acting like this didn't just happen, that we're not losing people left and right. I've told people about some of the healing modalities I'm aware of. I got one in the mail right now. I'm about to check out, hopefully get those people on the show. And it's actually a pretty cheap solution for the people that might have buyer's remorse on some of this stuff. And it might be a legit way to chelate this stuff out of you. So I'm going to try to reach out to those folks and get them on the program. Problem is, y'all, I keep saying this, but the problem is the name of my program, Permaculture Pimpcast. It kind of takes, I mean, do you have any idea how many people I've reached out to and they hear the name and they're like, nah, that's going to be a hard pass on that, bro. We don't support pimps. And then I try to write back and they're not even looking at the email half the time. So, hey, I guess that's going to be one of the downsides of doing this work. So it is what it is, or once again, it do what it do. Let's go into my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your Pimpcast tip of the day. Today's tip, if you complain, you fix it. The world is full of people who want to direct other people to tell them what to do, but don't want to do it themselves. This is the first rule when working with other people. If you complain, you fix it. After a while, you get no complaints. Complaining comes from a victim mentality. We have been conditioned to expect other people to solve our problems. Despite all the evidence to the contrary, people keep wanting the government to be in charge of things. The government is only good at two things: killing people and wasting money. Being a victim benefits those in power. Victims sit around complaining all day. They don't actually do anything. Look at any comment thread online. It's full of people complaining. If you are busy producing, you don't have time to complain. Complainers love to ban things they don't like or agree with. Why not create an alternative you do agree with? Instead of complaining about a company that doesn't make a product you want, make it yourself and create a business. Bill Mollison said long ago, we don't need to waste any more time on gathering evidence for the need to act. So let's stop complaining about what we don't want and let's start creating what we do want. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. And if you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com.
That's my dog right there. I'm looking to see if I'm wearing one of his shirts right now. I got one of mine on, strangely enough. 9 times out of 10, it's Eric's because it's the best conversation starter shirts out there. Man, he's got that right. I mean, it's one thing. I had a commander in the Army, and he came up with this, and I remember, I'll never forget it because I say it all the time. In fact, I live by it. He was like, don't ever complain or bring a problem to me that you haven't already thought of two viable solutions. Folks, try that on your kids. For real, give it a shot. Don't bring me any problem to which you haven't, and you know if they're giving you some BS reason or whatever, say, no, back to the drawing board, go give me two more. You do that a number of times, believe me, they'll straighten up and fly right, but I've always done that. Don't bring me a problem, don't complain, and try that with your employer sometime. You'd be shocked if you go in there into the office and give it a shot. You'll see. Go in there and say, look, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, we got a problem over here on this, but I thought of two possible solutions. Or say, I got two solutions to this problem that just arose. Believe it or not, they're going to take note because that's not what people do. Like Eric said, we complain, and 9 times out of 10, we don't do anything about it. So, feel free to complain, but offer those solutions as well. All right, my man. So anyway, EMP Shield, y'all, $50 off with promo code PERMA. Yeah, well, I know we got a lot of threat with EMP and everything else right now, but I'll tell you what, your bigger threat, take this from a journeyman electrician like me with 25 years experience in the IBEW, your number one threat is going to be lightning. I mean it. So EMP Shield, not only does it cover you and shunt that EMP to ground, it's basically going to shunt a lightning strike to ground. And if it doesn't, they will guarantee you for 25 Gs for anything that gets blown up downstream. So if your computer gets Kentucky fried, look, you ain't even going to call the insurance. Call EMP Shield. I'm sure there's a number of folks out there that are probably going to call both, especially these days. All right. Sorry for the brief. My throat's dry. I might sound a little bit different. Yeah, weird weather and everything is kind of playing with my throat a little bit. So if I stop and pause for a moment, you'll know the reasons why. All right. So this segment right here, I was going to go into the final four of the 12 I was covering. I had to put the brakes on that because somebody wrote to me and I'm like, okay, I get this a lot. A lot of people reach out with this and I got to basically put everything on pause and I'm going to cover this as my main topic. Ordinarily, I would handle something like this in the Q&A section, but I wanted to make a topic out of it because it makes so much sense. You know, when I was a kid, my grandmom used to always say, be mindful where you, now this is advice I'm obviously not using all the time, but she says, be mindful where you impart your advice because the wise don't need it and the fools don't heed it. Say that again. The wise don't need it and the fools don't heed it. Okay, so that's smug advice coming from a guy that has a YouTube channel, right? Yeah, of course it is. But I'm doing that with the understanding that you're always going to have your naysayers out there. You're always going to have the people that are, you know, going to be awful. And there's, and we tend to forget about the multitude of people that are giving you a thumbs up or leading you in the right direction or giving you great knowledge. But folks, I remember when I got into the electrician's trade, there was this guy named Ron Evans. He was on the board. You go through this committee and they decide whether or not to let you in. And I remember him saying something I never forgot. And it might even be cliche these days, but he said, it's not just as a first-year apprentice, it's not what that journeyman teaches you. It's what he does that you should know not to do. Because you do, just because a person has, and I've said the same thing about doctors, just because a person is a journeyman electrician doesn't make him or her capable at all. And a lot of times it just meant that you could pass that test, but it doesn't mean that you know how to use your hands, your head. It doesn't mean any of that stuff. So when a person has credentials out there, it doesn't mean a whole lot to me. So when a person, and you hear me talk about it all the time, MD, PhD, it doesn't matter. So that it goes the same for some of these other people that maybe somebody may be a butcher. Okay. Well, maybe they learned how to butcher wrong. Maybe they're anything. Maybe they learned how to do it wrong. Well, that brings me to this one here came from Monica. And let me just go ahead and read some of this and then I'll cover it piece by piece because I think it's important. I really enjoy watching your videos. Thank y'all so much for the knowledge of gardening, animals, composting, butchering recipes in the kitchen, everything y'all know. Also, the people you've interacted with. My name is Monica. I have a parcel. It's an HOA property. Okay, let me just stop right there for a minute. HOA, you're kind of giving away some of your autonomy. And depending on the HOA, I have seen HOAs that are, I mean, the only thing they don't want you to do in some cases is just pile 15 cars out front. If you know the people I roll with, that's a real concern. So anyway, she's in an HOA. That could be bad and it could be good depending on how you look at it. Just signed up and I'm in a master gardener program. Not sure about it. Just wanted to learn about high desert that I live in. And that, you know what, Monica, right off the bat, absolute applause, hat tip, thumbs up, you name it, because most people would never, ever, ever do that. So right off, you get a kudos right out of the gates. And the fact that you wrote to me about this tells me that you are a critical thinker. So I want to salute you for that as well. Anyhow, I attended class today. The woman talked about cardboard, hence the subject line reference. She talked about how toxic cardboard and other ground cover is. Okay, let me stop right there. Well, let me go on. The glues and other chemicals make the cardboard better for Amazon to ship their products. She said the cardboard repels water and she will never use cardboard in her garden or on her trees or any of her areas like that. Okay, before I go on, I'll just go ahead and cover that. So I get asked about this a lot and I don't know who's saying this stuff and you can believe them if you want to, but man, I've been using cardboard for a long, long time. Jeff Lawton, look at his videos. Look at his instant garden video. What's he using out there? Cardboard. And a lot of times, most of that stuff is beet juice on your newspaper and your cardboard. And I got a little other news for this person out there. What do you think happens in a composting process? I was just talking a minute ago about your fungus. And what does it do? A fungus is basically, like Jeff Lawton often says, it is the mouth, it is the teeth of the forest. It breaks it down. Anytime you have a woody, in fact, one of the things that if you really want to get your mycelial layer in your compost pile off and running, take a bunch of shredded paper, newspaper, and put it out there. See how well your fungus does. And that's beneficial. When I say fungus, it doesn't mean bad. There are bad ones, but that's not what I'm talking about. And you can determine a lot of that under the microscope, depending on its diameter and a few other things you can look at. But the point being, cardboard breaks down. Now, if it's that slick cardboard that they pack vegetables in and stuff like that, it's got like a waxy surface on it. No, you don't want to use that. I mean, would it break down? Possibly. Is it going to repel water? Probably. Don't use that. And then if it's anything slick or anything that looks almost like a laminate, yeah, you want to stay away from that stuff. No, I wouldn't use it. I mean, there's no way on earth I'd ever use that stuff. So, yeah, that's one of your big ones right there. But I'm talking about garden variety cardboard. I use cardboard to judge how alive my soil is. If I come back a month later and that cardboard's gone, my soil's kicking. Because it's all my fungal life down in there, it needs it. And I'm sure pieces of it are going to the bacteria as well. But yeah, I don't know where people came up with this stuff. And my man, Eric, I think, had a situation. I'd rather him tell you about it. But there was a situation in California on the project that he was heading up where he ran into exactly the same thing. People that are trying to be uber woke, I think, are coming up with this because I'm seeing it all over the place right now. The uber woke are saying, oh, don't use cardboard. Don't use. Okay, so what else are you going to do with it? You want to put it in a landfill? Is that a better solution? When you can sit there and compost it on the soil, suppress your weeds, all those things at the same time. I mean, back in the day, well, carpets were a little bit different. Bill Mollison used to use carpet. Look, if it's so awful, try this experiment. Just take a 2x2, maybe a 4x4 sheet of cardboard. Take it, lay it down in your backyard in some place you're not going to disturb for a while. Wet it down. For real, just do this. Wet it down and then stack it up maybe three high. Take another pile. Do the same thing. Three layers of cardboard, stack it up, and then put some mulch on top of it. Check each one of them after 3 months and see what happens. Now, the one that wasn't covered up by the mulch, ask me how I know, y'all. This is what I do. The one that wasn't covered up by mulch, if your soil has any life at all, it's probably going to be breaking down. But if you lift it up and look underneath, what do you see? If it was so awful, would it be teeming with every activity imaginable? No, it wouldn't. Go over there to the one that you covered up with mulch. Pick any mulch. Mulch du jour. And go look at it. Chances are they're probably that cardboard's either gone or just about gone. So, and then like I said a little bit ago, in your composting process, just like your mushrooms break down things that are unsavory, the same exact things happen with your microorganisms. Obviously, we don't want to be using plastics if we can help it. Well, you don't want to be using them anyway, if you can possibly help it. But if you're going to use something like cardboard or anything like it, we're crying out loud, man, you're feeding your soil life. I don't know where this stuff came from. And now over and over and over again, I don't get it. All right, so I'll continue. Cardboard repels water. She said she'll never use cardboard in a garden, yard, or tree areas. She said something about not planting root vegetables ever because of the metal they bring up from the soil, earth. Keep in mind, y'all, this here is a master gardener. Okay? All these people that have these credentials, there are people out there that will brag about credentials. I got credentials too. I don't talk about it because it doesn't mean anything. There's a lot of PhDs that are complete morons out there. How many MDs told you to go out there and get things you know you probably shouldn't have? Same thing, same exact thing when it comes to a lot of these master gardeners. I've heard some stuff, and these are some pretty prominent people of things I know to be absolute hogwash. All right. So not planting anything in terms of root vegetables ever. Well, unless you're on some toxic dump site or a Superfund site, yeah, I'd avoid that. But to say that in general is insane. Here's why. From arsenic, you name it, all the way down to it, it's in that soil in some trace amount. But it becomes bioavailable. The bacteria, the fungi, they break those things down and make them bioavailable to your plants. It doesn't just suck these things up and deposit it into the fruit or in the vegetable, whatever the case may be. It doesn't work that way. Now, Monica, I'm not getting on you. I'm just saying in general. and feel free to play this over to your master gardener. Well, maybe not, might cause World War III. There might be some helpful things you're getting from this person, but just know to, like Bruce Lee said, absorb what's useful. When the plants take this stuff up, y'all, it's a good thing. It's becoming bioavailable through that plant. And what made it happen is your soil life. Now, you're in a desert environment. Now, are things going to break down so quick? And she's also saying, because the metals they bring up in the earth. I'll get to that. I'm getting ahead of myself when we get to the trees. Yes, it should be bringing up some of those metals. It's bringing it up in a usable form. And like I said, unless you live in a Superfund site, you're going to be all right. Nothing wrong with that. It should be in those trace amounts. In fact, that's one of the problems we have right now in our soils. Foolishly, we tell people at our ag universities that the only thing they need is NPK, nitrogen, potassium, phosphorus. And your plant, yeah, it may grow, but you know what it doesn't have in it? It doesn't have all the other 90 essential vitamins and minerals, elements that you need in that food. What do you think? These blue zones, for those that don't know, there's people like Dr. Wallach, Joel Wallach, who did work on this stuff long before anybody ever heard of a blue zone or before they ever called it that. What he figured out is that in those places, by sheer dumb luck, all of those vitamins and minerals exist in those soils. That's why they have people that live over 100 years old all the time, people that are very, very active into their 90s in these blue zones. Places like Costa Rica, places like California. There's one in California, I believe. Could be wrong. There's a handful of them throughout the earth. And that's the one thing Dr. Wallach figured out that they all had in common. Well, if they weren't able to bioaccumulate that stuff from the soil, this is part of people like the genius of people like Stefan Subkowiak. One of the methods I learned from him, and I tried to pass it on, was taking volcanic rock dust, putting it out there. Why? Because those are places where they have a majority, like where I live, we don't naturally have a lot of selenium around here. Well, you need selenium. Otherwise, you're going to have heart issues, okay? So, the point being is that all this stuff is in the soil. What Dr. Elaine Ingham has proven is that all of it can be unlocked with the right bacterial life. Yeah, does it hurt to get some of this soil from other places? I mean, rock dust from other places? It's part. Now, he didn't tell me this, but part of what Carl Hammer does up there at Vermont Composting, I'm almost certain, because I saw his materials, I'm almost certain that he uses that rock dust in his compost because it is feeding the bacteria and the fungi. They are able to break those aggregates down into usable forms. I don't want to beat that too much, y'all, but I've got to put a foot in the butt of all these crazy ideas that people are talking out at. And none of this is anything I haven't heard before. Yeah, the metals are in there, but they're in usable amounts. And like I said, you might do a soil test if you're concerned about any of that sort of thing. But generally, nature's going to figure it out for you. All right, after that, what are your thoughts on the cardboard? I guess I talked about that. She says, I'm in the desert of New Mexico. The lady was from Washington. Okay, that tells me a little bit right there. There's a lot of great people in Washington, but there's also some, like everywhere else, there's going to be some lunatics. But also, she's from Washington. How long has she lived in the desert? You know, that may be a question there. Talking about trees, she said she was, we are trying to plant trees here, but they're not supposed to be here. So anyway, not supposed to be any trees in the desert. What do you think an oasis is? And I think she even makes that mention down here. What do you think an oasis is? Yeah. What do you think Jeff Lawton did in the Greening the Desert documentary and what he does in the ongoing site out there right now? Eric Sider spent a lot of time over there. What do you think they're doing out there? They're taking some of those hardy, if I remember right, he was taking like hardy nitrogen fixing trees and kind of giving something of a scaffold and then interplanting the other trees between there. I mean, there's so many different strategies, and you're telling me this lady's saying she's not, trees aren't supposed to be in the desert? Well, yeah, you don't want to put an apple tree out there unless it's maybe one of those iron shimmers or something they might do out there. I mean, obviously, you're not going to put the wrong tree out there, but I was out in Arizona, and I thought about this. I mean, it just hit me right now. When I was working on that Earthship project, there was a guy over there. Man, I wanted so badly to talk to him. but I was always so wiped out every time I left out of there. And I didn't want to go. He had his whole property with fencing that probably came up 8 feet all the way around, but it was see-through. And he had an orchard on the inside of there. Now, looking at him, I saw everything from almond to peach, you name it. I mean, it was out there, and they were doing fantastic. And he had a little watering system going on there. I mean, it could have been done so much better with swales and stuff, but what he was doing was working. But sadly, the way he was going about it was he wasn't really building any soil in the process. He was just constantly watering, but the trees were taking. That was in the desert, no mulch ring, no nothing. And those were peaches out there and almonds and a few others. I don't recall what the rest of them were, but he had a bunch right there in the desert. So it can be done. And it can be done, you know, that was in Arizona. You're in New Mexico, so not far from one another. So I'm reasonably sure a lot of this stuff can be done. And that guy might have actually been growing things that probably shouldn't have even been there in the first place. So finally, she talks about other week we listened to people. Anyhow, they're saying that the zones are going to change from where she is from 7A to 7B to 9 to 10 or even different. Yeah, that wouldn't shock me. I don't know for sure. I've heard a lot of that going on concerning, you know, what's going to happen with our weather and the crazy things that are going on. Folks, I encourage everybody to go out there and check out Dane Wigington of Dane, D-A-N-E, Wigington. And it's geoengineeringwatch.org, I believe is the name of it. So, yeah, there's weird things going on. And sadly, there's going to be a lot more weird stuff going on, and it's going to get weirder. Man, I wish I had good news for you. The only thing I can tell you to do, it's like talking about the mushrooms. Okay, do you want to grow some turkey tails? You might want to consider that. In fact, depending on where you live, they might be pretty ubiquitous. Oysters. Man, I got every oyster you can think of out there in that compost pile. Well, and that giant mulch ring that I got out there, where do you think it's going to go? I mean, there's so many different ways you can go about this. So, yeah, think of those plan Bs, Cs, all the ways down. So that's going to do it for the main topic there, folks. I really wanted to cover that because I am being bombarded sometimes about this whole thing with the cardboard. So I just want to kind of put that to bed. And then also some of these people that fancy themselves as experts, look, a lot of them are on YouTube. In fact, I've been very critical of some of these people that used to be in the homesteading realm. Well, when they found out YouTube algorithms would favor them if they pull the fear, well, they've been knocking it out of the park being fearmongers full time. Pays better. Which is why I won't have anything to do with it. So we're going to go, before we get into the Q&A, I don't have anything from Chef Snow today. Also don't have anything from Pastor Lon. Like I said, they're taking something of a sabbatical. Next segment brought to you by the TexasBoys.com Fearless Podcast. Go check them out. Those guys are off the hook, and they're covering a lot of a lot of the material that we have on this podcast right here, well, in their own way. And of course, they do a fantastic job. All right, so we'll get into the first one. This one, LaDonna says, does bone sauce deter fox from chickens and squirrel from garden? If not, do you recommend something else? I love you and your son's videos. Thank you so much, LaDonna. LaDonna, man, my tongue is all kinds of twisted and dry today. So, all right, I'll give you the straight up skinny on it, y'all. I'll tell you straight. No, bone sauce does absolutely no good on fox and chickens. I've been asked that a lot. Does absolutely nothing at all. Any predator, they just walk right through it. So that ain't going to help. In fact, somebody even said a squirrel. See, I'm getting mixed signals on this. Somebody said it worked on squirrels. I didn't see it. Another person said that the squirrel took the jar in the windowsill and licked it. So, I mean, not squirrel, but the raccoon. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say squirrel. Yeah, so no, it doesn't work on that. But as far as squirrels in the garden, we've had people with mixed success on that. And it's hard for me to tell exactly how they did it. One way we did it before was putting mule tape, M-U-L-E, mule tape around a garden and putting that on there. Seemed to work a little bit. Couldn't really, we don't really have much pressure from squirrels, so really not much going on there. I'll be honest with you, some people have said they've used bone sauce on their vehicle wiring because I guess what they make the wiring out of now is something that the animal rodents want to eat. So that's a problem. And some people have put bone sauce on there and they swore that it worked, and other people I haven't heard back from. So some people say it does work. I don't know. But I got some in stock right now. I'm running out. So if you want some, it's there for you. All right. So this one here is from Bruce. Hey, Billy, my wife has horses. We go through about 200 square bales a year. All sprayed hay until I can find quality. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about there. The stuff I got is good, but not everybody can access that kind of stuff. I have excess horse manure mixed with spent hay. Can I use it for anything at all? Could I raise it up in the landscape or use it in the chicken run? Or is it the best to keep it where it is, piled up and away from everything? Okay, Bruce, going back to what I said earlier, this is going to be contentious, what I'm about to tell you right now. It's always best to, if you got a place where you can take that stuff and age it first, here's how I'd go about it, and here's the way I've done it. If you can age it first, it's going to help. So you want that poop kind of hard. Now, it's kind of a nuisance because you're going to have to bust it up and then put it in a compost pile. I wouldn't use that pile immediately. I'd do a hot composting on it. And I've shown how to do, I've done videos on that on YouTube, but I went into greater detail on an easier method on Patreon. So that's one way you can go about it. I don't know that just taking it and stacking it up somewhere is going to be the solution. The problem, you always want your problem to be the solution. So I would find, it's like I said, this is contentious because some people are going to say, oh, it's always going to be in there. It's always going to be in there. I tend to believe that through composting, and because we've already kind of proven it, at least on this farm, that through good composting, you can tie up a lot of that stuff. Make it, you're not going to get rid of it, but you can make it inert. But you really need to be a deft hand at composting, I think. Have I done it before? Absolutely. We bought some of that bag soil a while back, and then we fixed it with, you know, it had all the nasty stuff in there, and we fixed it with our own compost. So it can be overdone. But you got to look at some of this as it's going to be a process. And then even after the compost is done, on top of that, I would still let that stuff cure, keep the moisture pretty high. I would still let that stuff cure for, I'd give it at least 6 months. And then if you can, send it off to a lab and have somebody look at it for life under a microscope. If you don't have that soil food web in there, you got other issues. Could have been a composting problem, but I know that this problem can be made inert just through composting. So I'd give it a shot that way. Yeah, could you pile it up in areas in the landscape? Yeah, you could do that, but it's almost all nitrogen. So you want to, you got some bedding in there, some spent hay in there. And depending on the stage of that hay, it could be a green or a brown. So I would try to make, if I had to do that, I would absolutely positively make some really awesome compost piles, let it sit, let it cure a long time, and then reach out to soilfoodweb.com. You can have we can test it, but we're really not geared up for that right now. We just don't have the time. But you can send it off, go to soilfoodweb.com, send it off and see what your life looks like. And then from there, I would think about whether or not you wanted to use it. No, that's not a quick solution, but that's the one I'd go with. Okay, so we got one here from Hayden. Hey, I stumbled across your YouTube channel. Hang on. Yeah. So, okay, yeah, he's just being really awesome. I came across your YouTube channel a couple of years ago, and I've been following you ever since. Especially enjoy the Pimpcast. Been meaning to reach out for a while and say thank you. You opened up a whole new world for our family here in the middle of corn country. We really have some awesome opportunity. Man, it's, he says, I hope to see you in Kentucky. I'm probably not going to be there, but my son's going to be there. I've got to basically, anything I'm going to do in terms of festivals and stuff, I got to kind of stay near the house because it's just two of us right now. And here before long, we'll be in lambing season. So that's really at least a two-person job unless you want to really, really wear somebody out. So, you know what, Hayden, and I want to say a deep thank you, man. It's been a long time for me to be comfortable with hearing that sort of thing. I don't know that I'm ever going to get comfortable with people hearing those wonderful things, people saying those wonderful things about us. Not comfortable with it. I know how flawed and how ignorant I really am, but I do thank you, and blessings to you and yours. So let's see here. We got one from Eli. Okay. Man, I don't know how I'm going to answer this one. All right, so Eli says, we're thinking of moving to Oklahoma, where my wife has some family. Sorry, y'all, about the water breaks. I'm just having to really take a lot of pit stops, okay? Hi, Billy. Really, we're thinking about moving to Oklahoma, where my wife has some family. Do you have any good, bad, and ugly that you can tell me about Oklahoma, specifically Tulsa and Rogers County area? Okay, man, how do I say this? If you go back and listen to how I became the permaculture pimp daddy, kind of cover a little bit of it in there, but I will say, I met in full honesty, I had a chip on my shoulder back in the day when I was a kid. Oklahoma, I think, was a very different place, and it wasn't uncommon. Every single day you'd be hearing the N-word, and it would just come off to everybody's lips. This is what they heard at home. And you know, a lot of the kids that I was growing up with, by and large, overwhelmingly, they didn't play that game. And if they did, apparently, you know, it wasn't right there in front of everybody. But we still grew up in the busing thing. So, you know, people generally got along pretty well. But there was always those, put it this way, when I got out of the Army and we went back to Oklahoma, I went there because I can go to college. I mean, college was cheap. And if you were a veteran and in the National Guard, you even went for free. Plus, got to keep your GI Bill. It was a hard place for me to live when I got back, I'll be honest with you. There's some of the best people I know in this world are right there in Oklahoma. And some of the worst I ever met are in Oklahoma. But I guess you could say that about every state. I have a jaundiced view about it because of the way I grew up. People were crappy to me sometimes, but you know, in fairness, I was crappy to other people too. So, like I said, my best friends, people I love like family. I got family still back there, but people I love like family. I mean, my best friend, his mom and dad, Mickey and Sue, Dustin, Sean, all those wonderful people back there. But around the Tulsa area, I really don't know. I think it's a little more progressive up there. But then again, man, they got Baphomet statues in Oklahoma City now. Man, that would have never flew when I was a kid. But Oklahoma, I think, has come a long way from where it was when I was a kid. And like I said, I had this chip on my shoulder when I got out of the Army, too. And I find myself in a job out there and, you know, doing electric work. And, man, some of the racial nonsense that you would hear, it was still going on back there. I don't know that that's the case anymore. I think it's become way more progressive, maybe in a good way in that regard. Southeast Oklahoma, spent a little time down there. Good folks down there. You hear rumors, but as far as Tulsa, man, I've only ever spent time up there just, you know, for blues festivals and stuff like that, but it was cool. Like I said, I got family there, man. I'm really not trying to say anything bad about Oklahoma because I was raised there, and some of the best people in the world I know live in Oklahoma. There are some people, I'll just say this on the other side, depending on which place you decide to live. If it's near the Tulsa area, I can't help you out much. If you're near like Oklahoma, Mustang, Tuttle, Newcastle, all the places, you know, cities or towns surrounding Oklahoma City. Yeah. I know those pretty well. And, yeah, so there's good and there's bad. And just keep in mind, in terms of your growing seasons and stuff like that, there was a reason why on the Trail of Tears they dropped them off in Oklahoma. I'm just going to tell you that right off. Weather can be inhospitable at times. It can be very, very hot, very, very cold. It can be all those things. It can be like little Korea. So just know what you're getting into. But there's some really awesome things in Oklahoma where you still have this around Oklahoma, Texas, Kansas, places like that. And, you know, I know there's a lot of other bastions all through the South and really all throughout the country. But, you know, there's still Americana left in there. So I would have told you a very different answer probably a year ago. But, yeah, there's parts of me that really, man, I really miss some of the stuff from it. You know what I really miss from Oklahoma City? Del Rancho. Now, please, man, don't tell me it's Del Rocho now, But yeah, Del Rancho, I miss that. Miss Oklahoma River. Oklahoma has its own style of barbecue, and it's really awesome. Man, there's a lot of cool food that you can't get. It's like nobody else in the world knows what a hot link is except for an Okie. I miss hot links. Nobody else knows what they are. I mean, you could literally go from Oklahoma to Kansas City, and nobody's ever heard of a hot link before. And it's like one of those things we grew up on back there. It's just Oklahoma staple, man. That's just what it is. A lot of cool, awesome culture back there. But it's been a while since I've been there. So, like I said, check it out for yourself. If you're going to relocate anywhere near Oklahoma City, I'll reach out to some of the people that I know around there, and maybe they can give you a sit rep. All right, y'all. Sorry if I'm a little bit out of it. You know, I'm kind of under the weather. Maybe Michelle gave me some of that. We got typhoid Michelle down there giving me whatever she had going on. So hopefully I'm coming to the other side of it, y'all. Thank you so much for your support. Stay alert. Stay alive.
I was catching the worm.